John, the first three verses. Then I want to come back and read you the first verse in the Amplified Classic so that you really see what's being said. Love you. Isn't it good to have God show up? Yeah. Amen. Thanks to Sister Schuyler for helping us with the praise team. Amen. She's so precious and has such a beautiful heart and beautiful voice to go along with it. And thank you. And Amber's, you know, in California with her kids and all kinds of things are going on. She needs to be there for that special memorial service for her grandmom, but we miss them. But I'm so glad we have people that are willing to jump in and help us out while they're here. Praise God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 from the King James. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Somebody say, which we have heard. Which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have looked upon. And it almost seems extracurricular in the sense that, wait a minute, it said that we heard, we saw, and then it says we have looked upon. And the sense I get is that we not only saw him, but we studied him. It was a gaze. It wasn't just a glance. We really looked him over and saw what an amazing God man he is. Yep. And our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice that the word is capitalized. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Watch again the emphasis upon personal experience. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard. There's a lot, at least, if I count right, if my math is somewhat on, there's about 7 references to personal experience. The touch, the eyes, the ears. 7 references. Now watch this. I'm going to come back to verse number 1 and just to show you, because the old King James, it's a unique language in 400 years. There have been some unique shapings and so on. The way that they said things in those days is different than the way that things are said today. So I don't want you to miss this. When you read verse 1 in the King James, that which was from the beginning, see that, which we have heard, which we have seen, like it was a that, see, with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled the word of life. It sounds like it's talking about a that. But when we read this in the Amplified Classic, we are writing about the word of life in him who existed from the beginning. Now watch this. Whom, not that, but whom we have heard. Whom we have seen. See, you get that feeling when you read the King James that it's not just talking about that. It's referring to God. And they're saying in the Amplified Classic, when you look at the Greek here, the New Testament Greek, from which we translate our New Testament, it's not referring just to a that, it's referring to a who.
That's right.
So, whom we have heard, whom we have seen with our own eyes, whom we have gazed upon for ourselves and have touched with our own hands. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
So, I just wanted you to see that, because then you'll understand what I want to preach about. I want to preach about the danger of secondhand religion. The dangers of secondhand religion. I'm going to ask Brother Josh Sandy to lead us in a special word of prayer.
Lord, we thank you today, God, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house.
Your house.
God, I pray today, God, let it go beyond just our
give us understanding.
God, touch our heart, our minds.
Jesus' name. Open our eyes. Give us understanding. In Jesus' name. Would you clap to the Lord a praise offering? Hallelujah.
Thank you, the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You may be seated. I don't know if you've been listening to this impeachment inquiry. You are welcome here, whatever political persuasion that you are of. We love you regardless. You don't have to. I don't want to shock anybody, but you don't have to be a conservative to be here. You could be a liberal. You could be a libertarian. We're going to love you anyhow. What we do here is not based on that. But I have fears and concerns about what's going on. It doesn't look to me like it's balanced. It doesn't even look even close to anything fair. And I lived through another impeachment. And so even some of the things that they offered to Bill Clinton have not been offered to our president. But anyhow, this is what sparked this thought for today. I was listening to some stuff on my XM radio, and I had to go up days later and find this in an article by Fox News opinion Kayleigh McKinney. After the first impeachment session, you know, in the inquiry, it's not actually an impeachment, but it's looking into, questioning, is there validity for an impeachment? She was referring in her opinion article to the acting ambassador to the Ukraine. His name's William Taylor, and I heard much of what he said on my XM radio, but she writes of him, Taylor, the first witness called by Democrats, admitted that he has never so much as met with or even spoken to President Trump. He even went so far as to say that, quote, what I can do here for you today is tell you what I heard from people. In other words, pass along hearsay. And if that didn't really clinch it, I was reading deeper into the article, and Ms. Kayleigh makes another point. That's right. She says, not a single witness on display this week had so much as met President Trump, spoken with President Trump, or even learned about the contents of the rest of the July 25 phone call until the rest of the public did. And it just struck me. I don't know how things hit you, but I can be going along and all of a sudden I hear something or see something. Everything fascinates. So I'm a constant student. I'm always thinking and trying to rearrange my thinking so that it lines up with what is truly true. Here are these folks conducting one of the most august, austere, serious, sober inquiries into a president. And I don't know if you knew this, but the day after he was elected, they began to build an impeachment case against the president. Now tell me that doesn't sound biased. The day after he was elected, before he said or did anything, they had already begun to marshal their plans. So here they bring their power hitters. I mean power hitters. But they had never, ever even met him or talked to him. But they're going to be put up as voices of why he should be indicted. Let me just tell you, I pray for our president. There are many things about him that can be aggravating. I totally admit that. He needs our prayers. Anybody that would be president needs our prayers. But it so spoke to me of how in our culture, if we're not careful, we have a secondhand take on things that's not accurate. Right. All right? We can walk into a church and enjoy them. And I enjoy our music. Yes. I enjoy the presence of God. I enjoy the atmosphere that's here. I think this is the kind of atmosphere we should have at church. Praise God. But if I'm not careful, I can base my spiritual life, and millions of precious Americans have a symbol that they hug. They carry things in their pockets. They have a form. We have our buildings. We have our religious practices. And it reminds me of a scripture from 2 Timothy 3 verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I don't want to just be religious. Ladies and gentlemen, being religious doesn't save anybody. Being religious, stained glass windows don't save anybody. Forms and symbols do not save anybody. If they could, Calvary was non-essential. But Calvary was absolutely necessary. Oh yes, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I was raised in religion. I was raised to go to church. But as a 14-year-old youngster, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name, and I discovered that knowing God was not about something that happened secondhand, but it was a first-class, first-rate experience with God that makes all the difference in the world. Woo! Has anybody ever worn hand-me-downs? I had, my mama raised four boys, and most of those years, there was no dad at the house. I got to see my dad about once every 10 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and the Lord dealt with him and poured his presence on him and brought him in. Years later, and he was baptized on the same night that I was baptized in Jesus' name. Actually, I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for the fact that my daddy opened up our house for a Bible study. He opened up our house for a Bible study. And because of that, we saw things in the Word that we had never seen before. But we were raised with a mom that was an Avon sales lady who walked all over town supporting her family, supporting her four boys, not knowing that three of those boys would turn out to be one God, Jesus name, tongue talking, denture dropping preachers. Oh, praise God. Oh, yes. And she ended up in our church as well. Praise God. But we used to have a wealthy, a very well-to-do family in our family spectrum. They were good people. They were upright people. They had a lot of resources. And I remember being the recipient of clothes that came down to us. Of boots and shoes and clothes. And I'm going to tell you the God honest truth. I was not too proud to wear something that came down from another source. I was open to all sources. Oh, praise God. I was open to all resources. That helps me to understand how tight things can be, how stringent finances can be with people. And so the Lord blessed us, but they were hand-me-downs, but I don't care. They were almost as good as new, and I wore them for years, and I'm not sad that I did, but let me tell you something about God. It is not His will for you to walk in a hand-me-down religion that your mom enjoyed or your dad understood or your grandmother was a praying woman and read that big black Bible. God wants to bring you into the middle of this thing. He wants you to experience. He wants you to hear and you to see and you to touch the power and heart of God and not be a secondhand deal that's handed down to you. It's just a family history and not an experience of change and power. Would you lift your hands with me right now? Oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let me tell you what I worry about with our kids. I was in this room with these amazing people that help us worship, and I referred to a scripture. I had a scrambling because I referred to scripture that we all should be able to quote, because it's some of the heirloom, it's some of the beautiful doctrine. It represents a concept. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father in you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If we're not careful, we'll let somebody else memorize the scriptures. We'll let somebody else give us what they think about those scriptures. We'll hear what the world believes and what philosophy says. But better than all of that is the fact that when John was writing, he was trying to say, we didn't read this in National Geographic. We didn't see this up on the internet. We saw him. We heard him. We felt him. We had a first. We had a classy. We had a gold-plated experience with God. It wasn't a hand-me-down. It wasn't secondhand. It was dynamic. And it was in the first person singular. Lift your hand. Let's love them a little bit. Woo! We can be so quickly and easily offended. We're too fragile. We are way, way, way. May I preach a little bit? We are way, way, way too delicate. When a man of God gets in a pulpit, I want to say to him, preach to me, sir. Dig me out. Preach straight to me. Preach truth. Preach revelation. Preach Jesus. Preach the power of the blood. Preach the necessity of receiving the Holy Ghost. Preach prayer life. Preach holiness. Just dig me out. I want to make it to heaven. Listen to one of the most tested men of history and what he had to say about himself in Job 42, verse 5. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now, after the worst trial of his life, after losing his kids, his oxen, his camels, after losing most of what he had accrued through the years, God took him through a storm. Oh yeah, he did, but he held his hand as he walked through the fire. Hallelujah. He said, but now, he said, I'd heard of you, but now mine eye seeth thee. Oh, praise God. Oh yeah, in Jesus' name, I heard about you. I knew about you. We talk from time to time, but since I've been through this trial, I see you now. I see you more clearly. I understand you better. I perceive you better since we've been in this storm. I want you to know, if you get to heaven, it won't be secondhand. It won't be because somebody handed you down an anointing. It'll be because you've been born of water and of the Spirit, and you are living for God, and you're not going to let anybody take you down. Who was it that said this years ago? They were preaching. And while they were preaching, they happened to look down at one of the young people, and they saw blood, this young man, blood coming down under his cuffs, coming down over the top of his socks. They saw him bleeding, and they didn't fully know, I don't think, at that moment why. But when they inquired, that young person was worshiping. That young person was praising God and giving it his best shot. But as they inquired as to what was happening with him, they said, when he gets home, he will be beaten for being a church. When he gets home, he will take a beating. But that doesn't stop him. I want to tell you what, I want to preach to the rough and the rowdy. I want to tell you it's time to get up and be apostolic. If you're going to be apostolic, get your nose in the buck. Get your feet on the ground. Let's understand this is not play acting. We're not playing church. This is the real thing. This isn't second hand. This isn't hand me down. You've got to be born again. Woo! I stood in a pulpit in Yugoslavia, and that gave me a subject to preach on. I just love that. That was so nice of them to assign me a subject. But there was probably more to that assignment than what I knew as a young man. Because you had to be careful. You had to be careful what you said in the pulpit in communist Yugoslavia. I told some of our people about when we drove in to Yugoslavia, Brother Gary, the apostolics were dancing in the streets. You got to remember again, this is communist Yugoslavia. Marshal Tito is the strong-armed dictator who fought the Nazis, who was ruling the country with an iron fist. But the apostolic Sister Tiffany were in the streets dancing. They were so excited about their guests coming from another country to preach and pray and minister. They didn't care what other people thought. They didn't care. They didn't care if they got in trouble with the secret intelligence officers or what. They just, it didn't matter to them. They were dancing and praising the Lord. We were around the Yugoslavian apostolics and they were so humble and so real, and they had a vibrant experience with God. You could shake my hand until my arm falls off. You could sign cards. You could say you're enlisted and you've got a membership and whatever, but that don't make it. That doesn't cut it. That's not what's going to qualify anybody to get to heaven. You've got to have a walk with him. You've got to know him, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I want to preach to people, if we're not careful, we can get sloppy. Sloppy agape won't cut it. Oh, let's get back to our prayer bones. Let's get back to consecration. Let's get back to get in the middle of the fire with this thing and become the vibrant, vital, anointed witnesses that we can be. Come on, raise your hand. You know it's true. It's not secondhand religion. It's not hand me down salvation. You've got to know him for yourself. You've got to live for him yourself. You can do that. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's 2 Corinthians 7:1. The next verse from chapter 6 we were talking about, spilling over into chapter 7, same thing. Woo! I don't know about you, but I deal with myself. It seems like constantly. I do. I just deal with myself. Listen to this. He healed a blind man in John 9. And then there was a whole bunch of fussing that went on. How many of you men love drama? None of us like drama, us men. As a matter of fact, if I had one word of wisdom to give to the women, it would be cut the drama. That's free. That's no charge. Come down a couple notches. Praise God. Cool your heels. Chill out a little bit. And sometimes God bless these awesome women, and sometimes it's guys too. Woo, help me, Jesus. Woo, give us joy. I want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost again. I want to see some more baptisms again. Come in soon again. Hallelujah. They got to fussing at this blind man, and finally he couldn't take it any longer. And in John 9 verse 25, he says, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. What was he saying? I don't know all the theological statements. I don't know all the arguments, but you gotta have an experience. An experience always trumps an argument. Hallelujah. An experience always trumps an argument. And if you're making an argument, don't bring people up. All they know is hearsay. You understand what I'm saying? I want to know what somebody heard, what they saw. John said, we saw him. We held him. We gazed on him. We heard him. We handled him. We touched him. He touched us. We cannot forgive. This thing wasn't secondhand. This wasn't done in a corner. We had a personal experience with him that touched all of our senses. Let's clap our hands to the Lord and worship him. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. I can't answer all the questions, but I was blind, but now I see. I don't know what I should ask this of the guys, I guess. Thursday night football. I didn't even know this had happened until I came back the next day. Because on my laptop, under Amazon. Forgive me, Jesus, I watched a little of it. And it looks like the Steelers are, you know, getting whooped by our Cleveland gang. And then the next morning, was it who somebody tipped me off? And I thought, what? And I went up and I began to watch the clips of Myles Garrett, the defensive end for the Cleveland Browns, and how he ripped off Mason Rudolph's helmet, the quarterback for the Steelers, and began to beat him with the helmet. It was absolutely ridiculous. And the crazy thing was, they were winning. First time in 5 tries against this team. They're winning. They're winning. Sometimes we lose it and the timing is atrocious. You know, before you lose it, check the scoreboard. You might be doing better than you think you're doing. Check the scoreboard. Check the word of God. Check the touch of Jesus. We might be doing better than you think we are. They were winning. And in the last 8 seconds, there's this brawl that breaks out because of this defensive end. And he's a great athlete and he's many things. But there was no excuse for what happened. And he's under suspension and he has come out, and God bless him for this, and apologize to this quarterback and apologize to the NFL and apologize to the fans and humbled himself. But this was what really touched me. They said, if you really knew him, he is not like that. He's unassuming. He loves poetry. The guy that's beating the quarterback with the helmet loves poetry. They said he loves dinosaurs. I can believe that one. Said he's cerebral. It's hard to, okay. They said he was could get him to speak up and say anything. If you really knew him, he's not like that. And that's what touched my heart. Let me tell you a little something about God. He gets blamed for stuff. When there's an earthquake, people blame God. You know why they do? Because they don't know him. When there's a tornado and somebody says, you think everything that happens is God? That is God at work? The enemy comes down and messes with the elements. But God gets blamed for it because people don't know him. When you really know him, you realize, oh, that wasn't God. That was the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a revelation you can share with the people you work with. Just because something happened doesn't mean that God did it. And people blame him just like people blame this football player. He's humbled himself. He got out way beyond his normal personhood and state of affairs. Doesn't make it right. He needs all the discipline he gets. But I got to tip my hat to him today, because I've been told that people who know him tell us he's not like that in real life. Woo. So I want to tell you, people have weird ideas about God. They have strange ideas. But oh, when you get to know him, when you really come to know him, talk to him, when you feel his intense presence, when you hear him speak to you. How many of you could say that today? I've had him talk to me. I've had him talk to me. I've seen him move in the sanctuary. How many of you could raise your hand and say, I've seen God move in the house of God? I've seen him move. I want you to know, because we know him, we have a different understanding than other folks. And that's what he's trying to draw us into. Not just a hitchhiking package where we hitchhike on somebody else's consecration. Oh, you're going my way, Holy Ghost. And we hitchhike on the presence that somebody else prayed down. He wants you to have a first hand. I've had him talk to me. Have you had him talk to you? If he had not talked to me when our daughter was killed, we would not be here. My wife has told me, honey, if you had not heard from God, I would not have survived. But I got out in a car. I'm sure you could have done a better job praying about such things than I did. But I shut up as far as just flapping my gums, and I just asked him for some understanding. And he began to give me so much insight. I couldn't write fast enough. But because we heard him and felt him for ourselves, he saved us one more time. You know, stuff can happen, and if you're not careful, you can lose your soul, you can lose your walk, you can lose your joy. But if you go off and pray, if you go off and talk to him and stay in his presence for a while and marinate in the Shekinah and wait on him until he talks, his words carry life, his words carry light, his words carry strength. Oh, yes, they do. And you won't be lost in the middle of chaos, in the middle of heartache, in the middle of fraud and carelessness and accidents and all the bizarre that can marshal itself against you. You won't be lost in the middle of that if you'll have your own walk with God and keep it protected. Lift your hand. Let's do that right now, Lord. Keep your hand on me. Protect me. Protect me. Oh, praise God. Protect us. I plead the blood of Jesus over us. We could talk about water baptism, but until you've experienced it yourself, it's second hand. We could talk about what it feels like to have the name of Jesus called over you and to have all your sins washed away in a millisecond by the blood of the Lamb. We could tell you what it feels like, but it'd only be second hand. How many of you could jump to your feet if I was to say you got the Holy Ghost and you could say a word about what it felt like to get the Holy Ghost and have the Holy Ghost? You would not be ashamed. You would not be embarrassed. Go ahead and stand. Amen. You could wave your hand at me and say, oh, if this was a testimony service, awesome. This was a testimony service. Let me be one of the first ones to speak, because I want to tell people the difference that it made to receive the Holy Ghost. It made a difference. It was about power. It was about grace. It was about mercy. It was about forgiveness. It was about love. You could testify of what you felt like when you were washed in the blood of the Lamb and how clean you felt. You see, we have testimonies. We have testimonials in the house. And it's not hearsay. It's not secondhand. It's firsthand, first place, first person. Woo! Praise God. And it's real. Thank you, Lord. As our musician comes, amen. Thank you so much, Lord, for showing yourself to us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. I don't want to ride on somebody else's walk with you. I don't want to hitchhike on somebody else's worship. Oh, God, you're coming for your people. You're coming for your body, the church. You're coming, Lord, hallelujah, to catch your people home. Paul said that I may know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. This would be an amazing time for somebody to walk to an altar to say, let me begin, let me begin, let me renew a relationship, let me begin a new walk with God, let me begin, let me hit a reset button, let me hit a refresh button on the screen of my life and know again, Lord, firsthand, I want to hear you firsthand, I want to see you, I want to touch you, I want to know you. In the name of Jesus, it shall be so. In the name of Jesus, it shall be so. Hallelujah. That verse of scripture from Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified Classic reads, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which exerts itself over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. Hallelujah. Do you know him? Do you know him? Have you seen him? Have you heard him? Have you felt him? Secondhand religion, dangerous. Secondhand religion never got anybody into New Jerusalem. Secondhand religion is poisonous. You've got to know him, see him, feel him, have him, walk in him for yourself. Lord God, you are good. Oh, you are so good. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, do you know his voice? Can he talk to you? Are you listening? Oh, let this be a day of breakthrough. Let this be a day of breakthrough. He wants to fill you up again with the Holy Ghost. He wants to renew us, reclaim us, refresh us in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. If you were called to testify, could you say, I know him. I meet with him on a regular basis. I know what his voice sounds like. I know what it feels like to be in his presence. I know what it feels like to have him put his hand on me. I've touched him. I've heard him. I've seen him. I've handled. I've worked together with him. We're friends. Hallelujah, Lord, right now, reach over, would you? Pray a blessing on somebody near you. Oh, God, today, kilotorelo shatara kansambro, e etoroku sototoro bokoshe. God, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, I love you, God, I thank you for truth. Oh God, you don't want our kids just to have hand-me-downs in the Spirit of God. You don't want our grandkids to live off of hand-me-downs. They've got to know you for themselves, Lord. You don't want us to walk in a second hand. Oh, God, used. Oh, yeah, just hand it down. Make it fit. Wear it whether it fits or not. No, you're not a hand-me-down Jesus. It's not a hand-me-down heaven. It's not a hand-me-down Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to know you. Oh, Jesus, lay your hand on us today. Lay your hand on us today. You saved me, God. You saved us one more time. Hallelujah. You saved us. Oh, let me know the power, Lord. I don't want to just affiliate with the form.